Well, good morning. It is, as Charlie prayed this morning, it is great to be here. It is an exciting thing to be a part of the body of Christ. It's an exciting thing to be a part of the worship of our God. Today's going to be a little bit different in a lot of ways. First of all, you'll notice that I'm up here a lot earlier than normal. That is the smallest change that you'll experience today. But what we want to talk about this morning is this mystery of communion. Now, I know the guys are in the back ready to pass out the trays, and y'all might want to sit for a second. This is probably going to be longer than you want to stand through, but it's not going to be real long by my standards. We are privileged to experience God. We are privileged to know the true and living God this morning. And at best, this relationship that we have with God, it is a mystery that we can even be a part of it. And it's a mystery that we can even experience God. So as we experience this relationship, this mystery, hopefully we are trying to get closer to God, this true, this living, this creator God. And there are ways that He has provided for us to interact with Him and to get closer to Him and to experience Him. One of those we were blessed to witness last week when Veronica made that confession of Christ that He is her Savior, He is her Lord. And she went into the watery grave of baptism and was baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of God. I'll be honest with you. I've been preaching for over 15 years now. I've been a Christian most of my life. I've been a part of over 100 baptisms, and I still don't understand it. It's a mystery to me. But man, it is somehow, some way, a gift that God gives us to interact for the physical, to interact with the spiritual, and praise Him for that. Another one of those mysteries is our communion. Jesus said that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. And so we're taught that the blood of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, the real physical aspects of that are very, very real. So this morning we want to try to interact with that in a special way. I'm going to go about the explanation, just the physical logistics of what we're going to try to do today. And then I'm going to go through some teachings about why we're doing it that way as opposed to another way. And then I'm going to give us a warning. So that's what you can look forward to. First of all, if you will notice, the seating arrangement is a little bit different. And if you're visiting with us this morning, you wouldn't have noticed that, but it is. And we have three communion stations established this morning. We're going to collect the offering in the exact same way we always do it. I'm going to pray here in just a moment. And the gentlemen are going to pass the trays around like they normally do. And they're going to take that up. And then they're going to take it. And they're going to do whatever it is that they do with that. And that's going to be normal. And then the kids will be dismissed to children's church. And then we're going to sing some songs, and then we're going to sing Mighty to Save. We're going to sing Glorify Thy Name. And while we're singing Glorify Thy Name, we're going to be standing, and we're all going to go to one of these three communion stations. Al is going to be over here. I am going to be hosting this table, and Dan will be in the far side. Now, these are general guidelines because we do want to be kind of a little organized, but As you'll hear in just a moment, organization is second to the experience this morning. So the guidelines are, is like this side, kind of go to that one. And some of these folks over here, kind of go to that one. And then some of these folks in this area sort of go here, and then some of these go there, and then that back's, you know, the peanut gallery back there in the back, you know, where we kind of go to that side. But it's just guidelines. If there's a little bit more people sitting over here than normal, so that might fill this whole area up, and then this can here and that. But just kind of look around and just see and sort of make your way there. Now, you're going to be standing for a lot of this, but I do have chairs sitting around in case you want to sit down or you need to sit down. That's okay. So that's the idea. And then Al is going to, we're all going to have the prayer together. And then Al is going to serve this group. And then I'm going to serve this group. And Dan's going to serve that group. And there may or may not be some conversation going over here that's not going over here. And there might be some there or here or whatever. That's okay. And I want to explain that. This morning, as we talk about the mystery of communion, I want to ask you, what is the purpose? Why is that wrong? There. Okay, we're going to have to go back. What is the purpose of our holy communion together? If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and if you have your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to look at the I was right. I have go back to Matthew. I do not remember being more nervous for a Sunday than this morning. And if you know me, you'll know I'm nervous every Sunday. But let me just say this, and I was going to save this to the end, but I want to get this out. And if you're visiting with, look, this is just, we're just us, okay? We don't put on a lot of airs, because we don't have a lot of airs to put on. Highland Hills, and the thing I love about Highland Hills is that we are a collection of broken people who are trying to experience this relationship with a perfect, all-knowing, all-loving, merciful God. And we're trying to allow Him to change us into the likeness of Christ. And that isn't always polished, but it is always authentic. Matthew 26. Go to Matthew 26. The first thing I want us to understand is the setting. This, what is the setting of our communion together? The setting is, as Al said this morning, it's community. We are not in this alone. There is no way to do a relationship with God on your own. Jesus said, you are part of my body, and no body part exists outside of the rest of the body. So we are all in this together. I've said this before, saying I'm a Christian, I don't do church, is like saying I play football, I just don't play on a team. You can't do it. So the setting, first and foremost, is the rest of us. If you look at Matthew 26, 17 through 30, it's a rather lengthy reading, but I want you to see the picture being painted by Scripture. We talked in our class this morning that we don't have a whole lot of the life of Christ recorded for us. We have 17 days in the total 33 and a half years of His life, 17 days recorded in Scripture. Here's a portion of one of them. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city, and a certain man will tell him, the teacher saying, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house." So the disciples did this. as Jesus had directed them to prepare and prepared the Passover. So the Passover that Jesus was celebrating, where he instituted what we now partake of as the Lord's Supper or communion, the first setting for that was just some guy's house. It was a house. And he goes on to talk to them. While they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." And they were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely not I, O Lord." And Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me." Well, the truth is that all of them had done that. At some point, they had all shared this meal. And they were passing bowls around and they were dipping in it and they were taking some of this and some of that and they were sharing a meal together. And so at that point, then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." He said, "Yes, it's you." And while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He gave it to his disciples saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup and he gave thanks for it and offered it to them saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood. This is my blood of the covenant. It's poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The setting of this first communion, first and foremost, was friends sitting around a table. Not necessarily knowing what was going to happen, not necessarily having any preconceived ideas of what was to come. And they were just enjoying a meal together. They were enjoying company together. They were talking. They were obviously concerned about this betrayal. You know, the neat thing is that setting is that Judas was welcome there. "Yes, it is you," Jesus said. While they were eating, Jesus spread, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. He gave it to all of them that were there. He didn't say, "This is for you 11," and Judas, "You..." So the setting there is a setting of community, a setting of a casual encounter with one another. Now, fast forward 2,000 years later, the communion that we have, it's not necessarily that setting at all. And that's okay. We do communion the way that we do communion because it's the way that we do communion. And there's nothing wrong with it. However, there are other ways. There are other ways to experience the community that we read about right here in Scripture that we know that Jesus and His apostles, that His disciples experienced. And we read that and we know that Jesus did it and He had a particular setting and an atmosphere there. And if we want to experience more of Him, it might do us good to experience what they experienced in a similar setting, or is as close to one as we can get. Because the setting of communion can do for us maybe as much or more than the actual taking of it itself. This morning in our class, Connie shared a story of a very special communion that she experienced either this Christmas or last Christmas. It was a Christmas. Christmas happened to fall on a Sunday, and so they were. She had a lot of people over at her house, and I think I vaguely remember this. Not that I was there, but she called me and said, "Hey, we're not going to be at church today or tomorrow, or whatever, because we're going to have a big group of people and we're going to do church at our house." And I was like, "Man, that's great." Now that's first century Christianity right there. Now, Connie said that what they did is they had that everybody gathered around, and there was a lot of people, you know, 16, 20 some odd people, and they kind of all gathered around and they all shared and they all talked and they some of them there took part in the prayers, and it was just this intimate gathering, and they shared communion together, the bread and the wine and they experienced more of Christ and more of each other, and she remembers it to this day. because that was special. And you know what? She didn't say, oh, man, that was some good bread. I mean, that wasn't like Welch's Select. It was communion. It was community. It was people you love sharing and celebrating the God of mercy, the God of love. So setting matters. What is the purpose of our Holy Communion together? If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 26. Now, this is some of the best theology that I know of on communion. Now, this is what we read a lot, you know, what Paul is saying about the Lord's Supper. For also the Lord, what I have passed on to you and the Lord Jesus on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do it in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this is my cup in the new covenant, in my blood. Do this whenever you drink in remembrance of me. And here's some theology. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's exciting. What we are doing when we take this, we are not only remembering. What we are doing internally is remembering Christ. What we are doing externally is proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. What does that mean? What does it mean for us to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes? Well, one thing I'll tell you, it doesn't mean we're not proclaiming our own death, are we? Because praise God, Jesus died for us. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I can't help but feel a kaleidoscope of emotions. One is humility. Another is celebration. One is sadness for him having to go through that on my... The other is gratitude and thanksgiving. And then there's this feeling of... Other people need to know about this because it is so valuable and it is also for them. The purpose of communion, of us sharing this, is not to accomplish some religious ritual. The purpose is for us to proclaim within us and without us the death of Christ until he comes. Proclaim his death. Tell others you don't have to die eternally anymore because Jesus died and he rose again and he has given us this to remember him by. And lastly, what is the result of our holy communion together? Look at Matthew chapter 5, 23 and 24. One of my favorite passages, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, is the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5 is where he lines out a whole bunch of you've heard it said this, but I tell you this. Which is another example of Jesus saying, just because in your religious experience you've wrapped your mind around a vision of God, do not let it stay there. Because remember that our vision, our understanding, our reality of God should be ever changing, ever growing, ever expanding. So he says in Matthew 5, 23, therefore, well, first of all, he says, you've heard that it was said that people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who's angry with his brother be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Now, the part he says about you fool means that he's referencing Proverbs that a fool says in his heart there is no God. So you're making a judgment. You judge somebody, you're going to be judged. That's what he's talking about. Or that's an aspect of what he's talking about. But then he goes on to say, because of that, because your attitude and your relationship with other people, especially your brothers and sisters in Christ, because that is so important, and because it isn't just whether or not you kill them, it's whether or not you're angry with them, whether or not you're judgmental of them, whether or not that you are separated, there's angst, whatever it is. He says, because of that, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go. Be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. See, God's not a God of ritual. God's a God of relationships. See, the result of our communion together should be a change agent in our hearts. It should be a window or a mirror held up in front of us so that we can be open and honest and real before the true and living God. David said in Psalm 51, God, you don't desire sacrifice, or I would bring them. Like we were talking in our class this morning, I can show you 20 pages in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Exodus. 20 pages of God lining out all sorts regulations for his sacrifices, when to bring them, how to bring them, what they look like, what they smell like, all of that stuff. David, after a world series of sin, adultery, murder, lying, he says, you don't want sacrifice. If you did, I'd bring them. But what you want is a contrite and broken heart. Does it break your heart that there is separation between you and someone else? Does it break your heart that you're not as close to someone as you once were? Does that bother you? Because it really needs to, because it bothers God. And God in 1 John chapter 4, he says, look, if you don't love each other, don't even tell me that you love me, because you don't. So what's the result? Does communion have a result? The question this morning is, will we allow ourselves to experience more of this mystery? I'll tell you this. I love our elders. Not because they sign a check for me every week, which they do, thank you. But they're risk takers. Everyone, all three of our elders this morning will tell you, I'm a little concerned. Ward, before he left, he said, we met on Thursday, and we were talking about doing this and the reason for it. And Ward looked at me and he said, Shane, I'm a little uncomfortable with this. He said, just because this is how we've always done it a certain way. And he looked at me, and I can see the concern. And if you think that your elders' hearts don't break and bleed for you on a weekly basis, you're wrong, because they do. And it is an awesome responsibility, one that they take very seriously. And they said, this makes me uncomfortable, but we're willing to do whatever it takes to get us and those that we are responsible for closer to God. Ward said, I'm a little uncomfortable. I love, love, love a man who is willing to be uncomfortable for the glory of God. Willing to be uncomfortable for the possibility that we can experience something that maybe we haven't experienced that will bring us into a better and deeper relationship. So you might be uncomfortable this morning. You might be just euphoric. It might be the greatest thing you've ever experienced. I don't know. But be willing to let the mystery bring you closer to God. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a prayer, and then we're going to pass the offering. And what that is that's the very real needs that this church has. But it's also the very real need that we all have. to release this place, this stuff. Because loving money and loving stuff is going to kill us one day. So God gives us an opportunity to release that. And then after they collect that, Hayden's going to be kind of watching. And when that goes around, and I just realized this, that we're kind of up against it on children's church. And who is Jamie have children's church? Eli has children's church. And will it throw any kind of a crazy monkey wrench in things if we just invite the kids to kind of stay with us while we do this? That'd be all right? Okay. I got one, so yeah, we got... Okay. That'll be all right. Okay. So we're going to have another aspect, and that's going to be, man, you know, okay. And that'll be good for children to see us doing that. It'll be great. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a prayer, and then we're going to pass the collection plate. And then when that's when that happens, Hayden's going to be kind of looking around. And when that gets done, he's going to get up and he's going to lead us in the prayer, the song Mighty to Save. And then we're going to all be standing. And during the song, Glorify Thy Name, find your place around the table. Find your place around the table. And there might be talking, praising God, prayers, hugging, forgiveness. Maybe there's a heart that needs to be left at the altar and go to a brother. And you might be over here and there's someone over there that you need to hug. You need to embrace. Do that. Do that. Do not let Satan enter into any part of this. Allow today to be a different, possibly uncomfortable, awkward, whatever it is, opportunity to embrace the mystery and to have the intended result. I don't know what it's going to look like, what it's going to sound like at each one of these tables. And quite honestly, Al, myself, Dan, no, we don't. If you need to hug, pray, talk, do that. And we're going to pass these around. And today, it's going to be more about service than being served, because there's not going to be any organized lines where you can just pass it down. You might have to turn and say, have you had any? Just like at a meal where, you know, you look and say, have you gotten enough? Have you been served? And so that's going to look like turning around and looking and making sure, like a community, like a family does for one another. And we might run out and be like, I tell you what, I've got a piece here. Take some of mine. I don't know what the organization is, but I do know this. God does not desire burnt offerings. He desires our heart. So that's the logistics, and I hope that I've explained that. But if not, and if you're a little confused, just follow someone that looks like they know where they're going. And gather around, and then we'll serve, and we'll hold on to the bread. And then when your group, when everyone has gotten a piece, then we can eat together. And when this group will do, and then we'll I'll come back up and I'll have a prayer for the juice. And we'll do that, and hold on to that. And when everyone's got a cup, then we'll drink together. And then we're going to sing the song, Come Thou Fount, and Hayden's going to start that when it looks as though everyone is. And you might still be fellowshipping during that, and that's okay. But some point during that song, if you could get somewhat back in there, and then we're going to sing For the Lord is a Righteous God, and then we're going to have a prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. And I hope today will be an experience that we will never forget. But before we take up the offering this morning, would you please pray? Would you please bow with me? Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to take risks on your behalf. Father, we come into your presence unashamed because of your mercy. And Father, as we take up this collection this morning, as these trays are passed and money is put in there, and as attendance cards are put in there, as all of that is done, Father, I pray that we would be proud of what we are giving. That we would be proud to give what we can, to release more of this world so that we can be closer to you. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to commune together, to give back, to experience you. And it is in Jesus' holy and precious name I pray. Amen.